Good morning and welcome to episode of the AdDrop Podcast. Continue our moves through the world of college football. Today we are here with Dan Metlock. He's the head coach of the Michigan Tech Huskies. Good morning, coach. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Now, Gwinn, Michigan is a tiny town. It's your hometown. What was it about growing up in Gwinn, especially if football and just around football, that kind of led you to your path today?
Well, you're right. Gwinn is a small town. Was quite a bit bigger before the mid-90s when the Air Force base was still around. The whole football story in my family, my grandpa was a coach for 40 years. Father was a coach for 40 years. So growing up with football in the house was in the DNA before I was ever around. So I was around the game my entire life. Made the joke with we had a high school staff in this past Tuesday for practice, and several of them know my father from coaching growing up, and made the joke to them that I don't think I ever missed a practice from kindergarten on. I was a ball boy, and then you get to high school and you're playing. So just something that's been a huge part of our family growing up all the way through my professional career now, and was just kind of nothing else I ever thought about doing. I got done with school and got a great education from Michigan Tech, actually, in business administration, and never thought about doing anything else. Got right into coaching right when I was done playing, and here we are today.
As a former quarterback, and I'm sure you played other sports too, can you equate throwing just the perfect pass, knowing it's going to come off your fingers perfectly, to hitting a baseball and you know it's going to go far, or shooting a basketball where it comes off your fingertips and you know it's going to go in? Can you draw that line?
Yeah, I think anything, whatever that sport is, you do it enough times, when it comes off your hand, when it's going to be a good one. Obviously, coverage dictates a lot of that, but when you throw a football and it spins off your fingers the way it's supposed to, there's no feeling like that. So, same thing as a shot. A lot of guys, use Steph Curry as an example. There's times where he's pulling the trigger and heading down the opposite end of the court before he even sees if it goes through the hoop. He knows what it feels like, and same thing with hitting a baseball. So, very similar feeling.
Now you played at Tech. Now, which were you more nervous for? Your first game as a player at Tech or your first game as a head coach at Tech?
Yeah, I mean, head coach, assistant coach, to me, it's more nerve-wracking coaching than it is playing, because you don't have any. Once the play starts, the control's out of your hands at that point. When you're a player, you've got something to do with how that play goes. So, it's like anything else. When the ball's kicked off, I think the nerves go away and it's time to get to work at that point, whether you're calling the offense or coaching position, or the actual quarterback or a different player. I mean, once it gets going, the nerves are different, but there's no question for me that half hour before kickoff as a coach is significantly more stressful than when I was playing.
Did you ever think, just if you look back as a player, that you'd one day be walking the sidelines of the head coach?
It was always a hope that I would be a head coach. To say that I thought that I would get the opportunity to come back, to where I played and do it here, that's a dream come true for me. I think, the longer you do it, I've been coaching since 2007. These last couple of years, obviously being back on staff at Tech, that reality or hope started to become more of a reality at that point. When I was bouncing around with those first couple of jobs, not knowing if I was ever going to get a chance to come back to Houghton, it wasn't real big part of the thought process at that point. Thankfully, when we got the opportunity to come back to the UP, my wife is originally from about a half hour from here, and her parents are still in her hometown. So, you start talking about grandkids and getting family back closer to family. My wife was on board with it as well, so that obviously helps everything at that point.
When you took the job, or when you offered the job, two questions. What's the first thing that went through your mind? And two, how did you celebrate?
Yeah, it was, well, it's kind of an odd deal. I mean, you know how it is in this profession. It's, very rarely does, a job end the way you want it to. You know, a lot of times when you're moving on to the next job, it's not because you want to, if you get what I'm saying. So, you know, it was tough for me. I worked with Coach Olson, who was here before me for 6 years, and a great friend. He's a great guy, you know, and then, you know, so you're trying to be excited about getting the opportunity to coach at your alma mater at the same time, you know, trying to be compassionate and have appreciation for what other people are going through at that time as well. And, you know, so there was, you know, ups and downs, trying to be excited about it at home. And, you know, obviously all the friends and alumni that I know were fired up about it, which was awesome to see. And, you know, but at the same time, you know, hoping for the best for a friend as well. So it was kind of an odd couple of weeks. And, you know, once we got settled in and started the transition with the new role and got the new guys hired on staff, there's a new buzz and energy in the building, you know, from that standpoint. So it's been better since we started spring ball, for sure, in terms of, you know, looking forward to what we could possibly have this fall.
As a former quarterback and as someone who's coached quarterbacks, can you, when you're looking in the field, be it your quarterback or the opposing team's quarterback, can you just look by the eye test and tell by the first quarter or so if a quarterback is feeling confident that day?
Yeah, there's no doubt. And I think, you know, this is one thing that I always talked with Coach Curls about, the guy that was our offense coordinator when I was playing and was a head coach here for many years, had a bunch of success, but he coached the quarterbacks forever. And, you know, my dad growing up, quarterback, coached the quarterbacks as well. And, you know, one of the things that was a big deal for me when I was playing was trying to get you know, not necessarily a short throw, but an easy throw just to get things rolling at the beginning of a game, you know, whether that be a flat route to a tight end or swing to a tailback, but just see the ball get caught. Similar to what you were asking earlier, you know, a shooter seeing the hoop ball go through the hoop one time early in the game, just to get that confidence going. But, you know, since we've been here in calling the offense, that's something that I've always had conversations with our quarterbacks about. I've been fortunate that the last quarterback we had was a 4-year starter. You know, so we kind of got onto a pretty good rhythm of, you know, not only what he liked, but what we felt comfortable calling at the beginning of a game. And, the quick game is a big part of our offense. So that makes it easy when it comes to that point. We started to do a little bit more RPO stuff lately. And, you know, that a lot of times gets you some easy throws as well. But, you know, it just depends on what the game is. You get to the fourth year of this, you know, when Will Ark's career, when he's a 4-year starter, you know, there were some times this past fall, we lit the game up with a double move and let him take a shot and see if we can hit one. Whereas when he was a first-year player, that was never even part of the thought process, you know. So depending on who you have, but you can tell, you know, what kind of rhythm they're in, where their heads are at after that first quarter. You got to, you know, bring them back down. You got to kind of pump them up, whatever it may be. But I do think that playing the position and just being around the game that long, you know, watching others handle that position, you know, it's different than any other position in sports. And everything, you know, revolves around that one position and how that guy's feeling, not necessarily just to throw the football, but with our checks and where the ball needs to go, where it doesn't need to go, and, you know, handling the play clock, everything. So when that one guy is with you mentally and physically in a spot where you can, you know, turn the reins over to him on a game day, that's a good feeling to have.
Now, before we go to the merch, I got one question. Now, what is more difficult to coach? A quarterback with an elite arm but subpar footwork, or a quarterback with an average to below arm with elite footwork?
Yeah. Without getting too in depth here, I would say that, you know, I think has a lot to do with what's standing in front of them. You know, you got a good old line, good talent on the outside. You can have a kid that maybe doesn't have the quickness or footwork or things that are going to necessarily get you out of trouble if things break down. But, you know, if you're young or inexperienced or just not very good up front, I'll take the guy with feet, you know, 10 times out of 10, because they're going to be able to get you out of trouble. You can have the best arm talent in the world and look the part, be 6'4" and you know, 215, stand back there with a hose for an arm. But if you can't protect him and keep him on his feet, you know, that makes things tough as well. So, you know, we kind of, with our offense up here, try to take that part out of it a little. We move the quarterback's launch point quite a bit, whether that be with nakeds getting out of the pocket or a rollout game, quick game and drop back with play action. So we try to change up where he's going to be throwing the football from quite a bit throughout the game. So when we go through our recruiting process, you know, that is something that we are recruiting is, you know, a guy that has the athleticism. And I think that can mean two different things as well. You know, you got a guy that can run 4.5 and is quick. That's fantastic. But at the end of the day, he's got to be athletic enough to be able to execute everything that we ask the quarterback to do in our offense, not necessarily, you know, make three guys miss and pull away from people, but are your feet good enough to move and slide around the pocket to where when things break down, we're not just a statue back there.
When we come back from break, I want to discuss the team this year and kind of your look into recruiting, but that's after break. Okay. You're sure. Listening to the Ad Drop podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back, Ad Drop podcast. Terrence Biggs with me is the head coach of Michigan Tech, Dan Matlock. Coach, when you look at recruiting, especially in the upper Midwest, what is the competition like for schools just in the upper Midwest? I mean, as far as being able to draw talent from other states so far north?
Yeah. It's different for us, but, you know, we find that difference to be a positive. I think a lot of teams that we recruit against, being in the league that we're in, you know, I think every coach in the GLIAC will tell you that it's the best football conference in Division II. A majority of the teams that we play are all in that pocket downstate Michigan, you know, so they can get to Lansing or to the Detroit area, the West Side and the Grand Rapids, Traverse City areas a lot easier than we can. Having said that, the biggest positive that Michigan Tech has is the academic experience that we offer up here. It's unlike anybody else that we play against. So a lot of, you know, teams or players coming out of high school, you know, if they look at that as a negative, those kids are probably not the right fit for us. We are looking for guys that want to battle that academic experience, knowing what it's going to provide them when they get done with their career here. So our recruiting pool is a little bit smaller in terms of who we can go after and who we can, you know, get into school, not only for the academic requirements, but, you know, I think the other thing that gets forgotten about in recruiting quite a bit is not only do we have to like a kid and his family from a football standpoint and academically, but that family's got to want us as well for it to be the right fit at Michigan Tech, not only because of the academics, but you're right. Our location is very unique compared to whoever else we play. So to want to come, you know, this far away from home for a lot of guys into what a lot of people, you know, are very unfamiliar with our location can seem like the middle of nowhere. We've got to get guys to campus to not only meet our staff and see what the academics are about, but socially, can they see themselves here for 4 and 5 years for it to be the perfect marriage? The next part of that is, you know, with Twitter and Instagram and everything else, the internet itself, recruiting is starting to expand compared to what it used to be 20 years ago. So it's a lot easier for us to recruit a kid from Chicago or the Twin Cities, Ohio, because we can get their film instantly. Whereas back in the day, there might've been kids down there that like our education, like our location, but never been here. We've never seen them play. You know, it's a lot harder for the staff at Michigan Tech to go watch a kid, you know, in Chicago, Illinois play on a Friday night before we play on a Saturday than it is some of those other teams. So we do quite a bit more from recruiting standpoint online now. Our traditional areas of recruiting would be, you know, the state of Michigan, Wisconsin, down into Chicago and the Twin Cities, and then that Northern Ohio, you know, Toledo area. So we do pull quite a bit from that location, but we're starting to get more national now because of what we just talked about. And let's, you know, call it what it is. There's kids all over the country that are willing to travel for school for that education experience that we can offer here. So we're trying to tap into that quite a bit more.
When you're not on the field, when you're not recruiting, when you're not in the office, how do you get away from football?
Yep. I love to play golf. So we do that quite a bit in the summertime. We've got a, you know, if you've been to Houghton before, the canal and the water is all right here in the summertime. So hanging out on the pontoon boat and just relaxing is another thing I like to do. We've got two young daughters, 11 and 8. So, you know, whether I like it or not, dance recitals are a big part of my my life now, and they're into travel softball now. So we're getting into that racket, and that's been fun. So, you know, you get away from the office, anything we can do to relax, be around family, that's what we're into.
Now, what was the best round you ever shot, and what was the best shot you ever made?
Sure. I'm still waiting on that first hole in one. I'm not sure if it's ever going to come, but I'll tell you what, my dad, not only the football coach, but was a golf coach in high school. I still remember it as my senior year, we went to a golf tournament over in Ishpeming, which is about an hour and a half from here. And I was about an inch from a hole in one and pouring rain. I mean, it was a normal spring in the UP, 35 degrees, pouring rain, and bladed a ball that should have been 40 yards over the green, but there was so much water on it that it just kicked and skipped right next to the hole, and haven't been close since. But I do not play as consistently as I'd like to. So the last time I shot anywhere near a good round, you know, was probably 5-6 years ago when I was playing every single day, it seemed like. But lately, I'm trying to stay to those tournaments where it's a scramble or a best ball where you don't got to rely on me every single hole, you know, and can just get on a good team at that point. So more so just to have fun. There's days when I think I'm good, and then the very next day I'll go play and get reminded that I'm not very good at all. So, but it is a fun game.
When you're out with the family, where is your favorite place to eat in town, and what's on your plate?
Sure. The Bonfire Grill here in town, Julie Courtwright owns it here in town, and she was a huge part of our experience when I was a player here. I don't know if you know it or not, but when I was a junior, so 2003, Michigan Tech cut the football program here. And 2 weeks later, they ended up bringing it back with the help of the alumni and some donors and everything. But Julie at the time owned a different restaurant, and they started a VIP thing at our football games. And she's been a big part of Michigan Tech football for a long time. She's got a new restaurant in town now that's incredible. Live music is awesome. And but when I go there, it's the brisket tacos 100% of the time. I don't even look at the menu, never gone wrong with it.
Being a Michigander, is Verner's as popular up there as it is down in Southern Michigan?
It is. Now you're gonna get some people, it's like Packers and Lions fans in the UP. You never know who's what up here.
But, exactly.
Canada Dry and Verner's are, this depends on who you're asking, but same thing.
Now, where would you go for a good pasty if you're in Houghton?
So my spot is Amy J's. It's just across the bridge in Hancock. So if you're on 41 going up towards Calumet, it'll be right on the left side. You know, I've got the schedule down now, but they're one of those places that's only open on certain days of the week. And when they're sold out, they're sold out. So we know when we need to go get them and that type of thing. But there's so many places in the UP that make them, you know, preference on how the potatoes are cut, or do you like rutabaga in them? Do you not? But you can't go wrong at most places up here.
What's your favorite pasty? Like just the traditional?
100%. And the places that make a large and a small, got to be the large one. Don't even use a fork. Eat it like a sandwich out of the bag and go from there. I'm not a ketchup guy. Don't use gravy on it. So a little salt and pepper, and I'm good to go.
We have a place down here. It's the Sheboygan Pasty Company, where the owners got the recipe from a friend's grandma who lives up in the UP. And
sure,
it is phenomenal. A pasty is just... it is the perfect food. It's handheld, not a mess. It's actually perfect.
Yeah.
Michigan Tech head coach Dan Matlock, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the AdDrop Podcast.
I appreciate you having me.